This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:36 a.m. You are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mukhtar with Wong Xiaoning and Philip C. In half an hour, we have the opening bell where we're going to check out how Bursa Malaysia begins the trading day. But before that, let's talk about developments in Malaysia's higher education system. So as we approach the end of the implementation period for the Higher Education Blueprint 2015 to 2025, the government has signaled that it's beginning work on a successor blueprint to transform the tertiary education system for the next decade.
Under the current Minister of Higher Education, Dato' Sri Zamri Abdul Kadir, the government is looking to emphasize integrating higher education with technological advancements, especially in AI and TVET. Through these reforms, Malaysia aims to position itself as a global leader in higher education and innovation. So what initiatives should be introduced to ensure equal access to educational opportunities for all Malaysians during this transformation?
So for some thoughts on this, we turn to Professor Zaharom Nain. He's an EXCO member with the Malaysian Academics Movement, also known as GERA. Prof. Zaharom, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us. Can we start off with, I suppose, assessing where Malaysia stands in higher education at the moment? How much progress has been made under the current blueprint in advancing the sector?
Good morning, Shazana. Thanks for inviting me. I guess that depends on what we mean by advancing. Let's quickly summarize four key aims of the 10-year blueprint, okay? Mm. First is increasing higher education enrollment to 70% by 2025, largely through the increase in the roles of TVET, private institutions, and online learning. Second is increasing graduate employability rate from 75% in 2015 to 80% next year by 2025. Three, increasing international student enrollment to 250,000. This was reported quite widely, I think, yesterday. Four, play the rankings game more efficiently. Put Malaysian universities in, for example, Asia's top 25, more universities in Asia's top 25, the global top 100, and so on and so forth ad nauseum. Notice that virtually all these aims are quantitative in nature. Mm-hmm. The universities and government can probably play around with the figures and say in 2025, just a year away, that the aims have been achieved. The current minister virtually said these are still the aims in yesterday's statement, which we are unpacking this morning. But rather than ask how much progress has been made within these quantitative parameters, or whether much of this has been derailed by the pandemic, the two-year pandemic, perhaps we should ask, as Gerard has persistently asked over the past few years, how important are these aims? Mm. Do they address the core problems facing Malaysian higher education? Or do they sidestep and even ignore more crucial questions of university autonomy, equitable access, and of course, quality, and the often dismissed notion of critical inquiry? When the blueprint was launched in 2015, there were reports of it having the objective of having the national higher education, giving the national higher education system a quantum leap. Looking back and even moving forward, we seem to just love cliches and hyperbole. So I and Gerard would say that there's been much barking up the wrong tree. If genuine reforms are what we're looking at instead of platitudes, let's move beyond blueprints and stare our higher education problems in the face and genuinely address them. And what are these problems? I'll name just three, okay, quickly, that Gerard has outlined time and again to at least three different ministers. Only one minister, Dr. Mazli, was willing to activate his brain and engage with us. The other two were too busy TikToking and appointing sycophants as advisors. At any rate, the first problem is the ongoing surrender of university autonomy to politicians and the appointment of university heads lacking in independence and simply playing to the tune of politicians. Second are the discriminatory practices that continue unabated, where the focus is on kulitocracy, what we call kulitocracy, and not meritocracy. Mm. This, we believe, impedes equitable access, healthy competition, and the desire to do much better. Affirmative action is fine. We're not opposed to affirmative action, but it shouldn't just be based on ethnicity or race. Third is a misplaced focus on quantity and superficial, often vacuous strategies like getting academic faculty to play the publishing game, irrespective of quality. The recent debacles regarding the pathetic work of Malacca's history and the purported records of the world journeys of the mythical Hang Tuah are clear examples of shoddy work, even bad fiction, being passed down as academic research. So that's basically
Prof, you have a lot to say, I must say. I wonder if the Minister for Education has ever engaged you, because you've been persistent about the issues, right? What has been the stakeholder engagement in your view?
Whether he's engaged, only Dr. Masri engaged us. The last two ministers did not, or three. I think I've lost count of the number of higher education ministers we've had. Although we approached, we asked whether we could engage with them, there were a lot of excuses given. I think Gurat is a dirty name as far as some quarters are concerned. What kind of stakeholder consultations do I hope to see? In 2026. Now the question is, why only start on this in 2026? Yeah, I would suggest correcting the mistakes now.
Okay.
Charting a truly reformist path now. More than 2 years have been wasted by quite clueless ministers, seriously. Second, why must planning and strategizing be so centralized? We surely want diversity in our higher education system. And within every university, there surely must exist a human capacity to design their own strategies. A monolithic system that plan and design from outside sounds rather boring and uncreative. Do we really want our universities to go further down that path? For many of us, it's bad enough having MQA issuing guideline after guideline with a narrow understanding of what quality entails. Third, to get to the question of stakeholder consultations, let's move beyond the selection of stakeholders who seem clueless and think of universities as merely factories producing bland and uncritical workers, easily controlled and programmed to obey orders. Precedence actually raises alarm bells about what to expect. Precedence, yeah. Neoliberal strategies that place much emphasis on the market seem to be the order of the day. But higher education, especially universities, should do more than that. Masri was quite astute in his reported statement yesterday when he talked about the soul of the university, the culture of innovation and a critical mindset. The next very difficult step would be to get current zombie heads to understand these concepts. Indeed, perhaps it would be easier to get rid of these zombies and replace them with more innovative young leaders, irrespective of race, gender and religion.
Which begs the question, if you were the Minister of Higher Education, what would be your top three priorities that this blueprint would address or should address?
I can wish.
Yeah. Yes, let's wish.
Actually, I've already named three earlier. Yeah, to summarize, first, universities and other higher education institutions need to reclaim their turf, as it were, and kick out political interference in the form of political appointments as vice chancellors, deputy vice chancellors, university board members, and so on and so forth. If the Malaysian media industry can fight for a self-regulating media council, universities surely must form their own councils and can do so. Second, get rid of the discriminatory practices where the focus is on ethnicity and not meritocracy. The current practice impedes equitable access, healthy competition, and the desire to do much better. Like I said, affirmative action is fine, but it shouldn't just be based on ethnicity or race. Third, universities need to refocus strategies away from the misplaced focus on quantity and taking a hard, long look at quality. That is quality of research, of publication, of academics, of students, and of course, of leadership. So those are my, essentially, not only mine, but Gurat's, I think, three main wishes.
Prof. Zaharom, thank you very much for speaking with us. That was Professor Zaharom Naim, an EXCO member with Gurat, talking to us about the priorities that he hopes will be emphasized in the next iteration of the Higher Education Blueprint. A lot of really deep-rooted structural issues that need to be looked at and that can't be addressed with just quantitative targets.
Yeah, he didn't mince his words that the fact that the ministers as a whole in past ministers have really engaged or done any stakeholder engagements, right, about how they can move this really mammoth task forward.
I think what's interesting is his point, which is true. Yes, the blueprint is supposed to a new blueprint is supposed to be issued, but doesn't mean that you have to blindly follow a past blueprint if it wasn't in the best interest of your education system. Why can't it be done like now if you see things aren't right? For example, if there's skill mismatch and, you know, your graduates are not getting the right jobs for the right pay and there's underemployment, shouldn't that be addressed today rather than wait for 2026?
Right. And again, those skills mismatches, I mean, like the minister and other government figures have pointed out, they want to focus on AI, they want to focus on technology, but that kind of focus isn't going to address what's already not working in the system. So I really do hope to see an overhaul and the adequate consultations with all stakeholders involved. We'll be watching this space. It is coming up to 8:47 in the morning. We're heading into some messages, but we will be diving into how sentencing rules operate in the Malaysian legal system when we come back. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.